Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Lovely sound of C.T. Winans coming out of there. And the song's titled, It's Gonna Get Better. If you didn't believe that it would, well, I'm reminding you today with C.T. Winans that it is indeed gonna get better. Lalela. I told you, I don't fail. And so it is, of course, a Wednesday afternoon. It's Women's Month, like I said. And I am joined this afternoon on the line by Marilyn Morris, as well as the CEO of Octopair. Whoo, interesting name, Octavia Ephraim. I think, Octavia, are you in?
Oh, fantastic. It really gets better when we keep on trying. Hey, thank
exactly.
You so much
for having me. It does get better as long as we do not give up. For if we do, then we will certainly fail.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to bond with you, my friend Marilyn, and your viewers.
Oh, lovely. Marilyn as well. Marilyn, see, we did say we don't fail, right?
We can do it together.
There was no way we were going to fail. And so, like I said, Octavia is the founder and CEO of Octopair, and she's an which is an image institute rather, and she's an image consultant. Who guys? When people speak of image consultants, whenever I see your profile, Marilyn, I'm like, don't I need some consultation? Because I have my days, but they're definitely not every day.
Yes, it is a tool. It's a tool. It's not an everyday. It's not. It is a lifestyle. Let me put it that way. It is a lifestyle. But I brought you the expert today.
So. Listen. Now, I think before we have this chat, I'm actually very interested, Octavia. I get the oct. Oh, wait. Yes. Is this Octopair? Or is it? Okay, please explain. Why Octopair?
You know, the exciting thing about Octopair, the name was founded in 2075. I registered my business, actually. My daughter's name is Carol, and I'm Octavia, right?
Okay.
So the vision, when we were brainstorming, I said to her, baby girl, I want to build a legacy. You know, when you have image professionals that you admire, especially mm-hmm. overseas, they have businesses that have generations, legacy. Then I said to her, it's something that I'd love to build together. And she was still young then. I said, you know what, there's so much things that are common between us, and I'd really love to have the name that will hold me accountable. And we came up with many different names, and eventually she said, Mom, we can combine your name and my name and make it Octopair, you know?
Yeah.
It was so exciting. It was so exciting. Yesterday we had an expo at one of the organizations that we're having, She Means Business Expo. And mm-hmm. she works from 7 until 12, 1. And at the same venue, at the same place, for the first time that my daughter was there at my stall, mending my stall, helping me and so on. And I said to her, you know what? Today, it's just thinking that we were right about the name Octopair. And this is what we had in mind, you know, working together and building the legacy. Who knows? Eventually, my grand-granddaughters will carry that legacy.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. I must say, it's absolutely beautiful. As I was wondering, Octa, okay, I get that part, but pear? I'm like, is it a pear? Is it a... What's happening exactly? Let's talk about, you know, Marilyn mentioned something earlier on about exiting the corporate into entrepreneurship. I was like, huh? Okay, this is interesting. Now, tell us about the importance of planning well when exiting corporate into entrepreneurship. And I must say, when I heard it, for me, it's a scary one. But I know that Marilyn actually did the same thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I know.
Exiting corporate, you know, from corporate to entrepreneurship, it's very scary. And we all have different reasons why we leave corporate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my corporate journey has been so fruitful in many ways. Almost every second year, I will be promoted to the next position.
Wow.
And once you have when I left corporate, I was literally taking off. I think the next, I was in a middle management position.
Sure.
And then the next position was looking to, obviously, being in executive space. You know, I loved corporate and very successful. It did not make sense to me, to many people, but to me it made sense in many ways. But to leave at that time, like I say, my business was registered in 2007. Even before entrepreneurship booming, I've always been, you know, selling. I share with Marlene as well. She said, I was raised by my grandparents. We've always been selling something. And eventually I sold clothes. I sold cosmetics. I sold so many things, you know.
Sure.
And I had a dream of my aunt used to work for a boutique, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I went to that boutique store to visit her, I said to her, I was very young, and I think one day I would have a store like this, you know.
Wow.
And came across with image consulting qualification that I did not even know about. It's part of how I came across with image consulting in my journey of middle management, wanting to flourish as well, personal flourishing for professional impact. And one of the consultants we, you know, in the workshop that we were, was invited was an image consultant, you know, specializing with corporate. Her moment, everything she was talking about there, half of the stuff, it was just coming natural. And I went to qualify to train and to qualify as an image consultant. I said, you know what, it is with the boutique, it's just a beautiful marriage. You know, I left corporate in 2011 and to start my business, you know. So coming to say, if you want to exit corporate to start your business, whether for you leave for the good reasons or not good reasons, but have a proper exit strategy. I must say the excitement for me was just good enough, and the passion was good enough. And having a sat with my husband and said, this is what I'm planning to do. Will you be able to assist with this and that? Obviously, when I get my pension, we will make sure that some of the expenses are covered so that even if we have one income at home, we know we are covered. But beyond just that financial planning, you really need to have a proper roadmap to understand your finances. I thought I did. I mean, also working for the bank, I thought I have a proper finance strategy exit, yet it was not enough. I also neglected even the estate planning part of your financial planning, right? Build your skills and test your business idea while you are still employed. I always say one of the challenges that we have, women, is to access funding for our businesses. You can actually take your full-time job to be the founder for your business, right? But make sure when we say that, I think some managers will cringe, as CEO, we're not saying when people use their full-time job to fund their businesses, they must neglect where they are employed.
Of course.
But make sure while you're still employed, flourish there. But at the same time, it would eliminate so much stress to know that at least I've got an X amount of the income. Out of that amount, I'm going to take 20% and invest in my business, test my market, and see what happens. Because that will really help you to, once you've tested your market, it will help you to, when you decide to take that leap of faith, you step into your business with confidence, with clarity, and with purpose. I mean, I left 2011 corporate space, and I'm only seeing there's so much, I don't say it's a waste of time, but I think the first 8 years, I feel if I had a proper exit strategy, holistically look at what does the business entail, I should have faced even emotional challenges with a completely different manner, because the roadmap was there, but it was just about, I know I can do this, but any other areas was totally neglected. So really important to build your skills, especially the industry that you want to, you know, that you want to spread your wings at. I mean, with us as image consultant, we see technology taking over in many ways, but also there's still that, you know, market, the piece of cake of our market that is there. But if you don't master the skill and know better about the industry that you're in, we will take we'll take the technology as a threat to our businesses, yet you can leverage that in many ways. And I think in a nutshell, proper exit strategy, some may take 3 years, some may take 6 months, some may take 5 years. It truly depends on what you want to do by when, you know.
Yeah.
I always say over and above that, look at your expenses, look at worst case scenario. If your business does not make the income, I say to myself, I should have left corporate when I know I have saved at least a year's income of, you know, the current income that I'm getting from the corporate. The business should be able to give that income so that I don't compromise my lifestyle, I don't compromise my family's lifestyle. Obviously, there's going to be adjustments that has to happen there and there, but it should not be whereby it puts the family to resent your business, if mm-hmm. I can put that, you know. So you want, in as much as you have challenges, but you don't want to resent your business along the way. One of the things that I've done with the challenges that I've faced, I must say, there were a few years where I resented my business, even as an owner, as a founder, resented my business. So I would not wish anyone to go through that, you know.
Sure. That's wonderful. Listen, I'm going to do something really, really quickly with your phone, Activia. If you can just pick up the current call that I'm making to you, I'd appreciate that. And, you know, Activia is making such a valid point there, Marilyn. Do I have you over, Activia?
Yes, ma'am.
Nice and quick. Marilyn, you know, if there's something that I'm really picking up from Octavia, it's an argument I've been making with my twin brother and his wife. He is in the pharmaceutical world, studied pharmacy, and I always say to him, as much as the excitement of starting a business, it almost feels as if you're the only one who understands it. You know, when there's passion and there's something pushing you, sometimes you feel like not everybody understands, especially your strategy. But be that as it may, I always say to him, because there are no guarantees, and that statement always makes it seem as if I'm saying, no, it's going to fail. And I said to him, make your current employer pay your bills, make it pay for your business. You know, and so I loved it when Octavia touched on that, because that could save you a lot of stress. And I'm actually glad that Octavia is speaking from a point of, I took the risk, but I wasn't aware I needed to check this and that. And I want you to look out for that. Because one might mm-hmm. now say, no, she did it and it worked out. So why is she saying that? But she's saying, hey, look, I look back and say now, this is how I should have done things. Definitely differently. You did the same, Marilyn. How did that pan out for you?
Yes, Luca, thank you very much. So similar to Octavia, I also had the beautiful career. Mine was in corporate. Mine was in public service.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a beautiful career, and I really feel that God had been with it. He had been building up that career, because I can never say that I've ever been unhappy in my job.
Wow.
But then there came a time when I felt that God was giving me this is a word that I had from him, that I'm opening a window in time for you
mm-hmm.
to step through, to step in, and it's going to be easy. And I never thought, unlike Octavia, I never thought that I had the same this business sense and entrepreneurial spirit. So I knew that I was an intrapreneur born to make that difference internally in an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly now I had this prompting that it is time for you to move. And, you know, especially us as Christians, when we get a word from the Lord, we know that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yep.
So we just take the word and we run with it. Similar to Octavia, I left with a word. And now looking back, I still think that over the 4 years, I had a much easier transition than probably most people.
Wow.
With what I've been able to achieve over the 4 years. However, I do share the same sentiment that the strategy is very important. We have the word from God, we have the prophecy, we have the promise, but we don't necessarily stop to ask him, okay, what is it, how do I do this? Is
yeah.
there a strategy on the how part of it? Because now I would say, if you ask me, I would say take at least 2 years to exit. Sure. I take it even further than what they say, 6 months or 1 year. Because what you know while you're in employment, you know what you know. You know what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what you will need for this next journey.
Exactly. Exactly.
You may come with a wealth of experience from corporate, but the shocking truth is that entrepreneurship has its own set of skills that you require to stand and to survive in this world. You need a sales strategy. You need marketing ideas that you never knew you needed in while you're in corporate or in employment, because employment provides you with an ecosystem of other departments and what you need. When you come into entrepreneurship, it's you and you alone, most often. You don't have the support structure and the ecosystem that you need to help you with this, or to draft a document, or to do the prep work for a meeting. You have to do all of it yourself.
Yeah, that's
and
so true.
So you need it. Yeah, so it's good to have the capital to sustain your business for at least the next 2 years.
Mm.
But also the other reason why I say 2 years is I strongly recommend that you get a business coach.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
Journey
with them. You start running your side hustle, running it as a... So you are strong enough over those 2 years. And when you leave from employment, you leave into a well-established business that is able, where you're able to sustain your expenses. Because, you know, when you're in employment, you have the stability of a salary, of medical aid, of benefits. And if you're not prepared to cover that loss, those losses, resigning means that you won't have access to those things. How are you going to sustain yourself?
Yeah, that's so important.
Do I make sense?
Yes, you know, in the third hour, actually, I'll be having a lady by the name of Blessing Dabula, and we speak on financial matters. She always stresses this to say, you know, when you take that risk eventually, you must have thought through of what it is that you may be losing. Can you afford to lose it? Because the thing is, it's not just going to jet off miraculously. Well, some people are lucky enough, but usually, it's a process. It's a build up. It's not just an overnight thing where I've dropped my employer and I'm now getting this and this and that. It's a process. Even in the face of that, I think I want to come back to Octavia. You know, one might say, look, I'm called, I'm propelled by purpose into this business.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, why is this strategy then critical, even if you actually feel called or propelled by purpose?
Fantastic question. I love what Madeline has said. When you're employed, employment offers resources.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your legal department, you've got the HR department, you've got marketing department, you've got PAs and so on. But as an entrepreneur, you wear many different hats, right? And I didn't realize that literally you wear all those hats. And it comes with, it will challenge you mentally in many ways. At some point, I used to say I've got decision making fatigue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, as you start your business, you're educating people about who you are, meaning most of the doors that you're going to knock at, you know, they're going to be shut back at you. And that can one way or the other affect your confidence. One way or the other can make you doubt, was am I correct to resign and do this? I know I can do this. For instance, when I was still in corporate, I used to say everything that I touch turned into gold.
Mm-hmm.
And moving to business, I became very arrogant to say, if I can be flourishing at someone else's business, then in my business I have to be 10 times flourishing, you know.
Yep.
Yet it's completely different. I couldn't agree more with Marlene as well, saying make sure you get your business mentor immediately. That will really eliminate most of things, even your strategy. sometimes you will think the strategy is perfect. You know, when I get excited, for me, I'll get it over. I'm so glad I met leaders like Marlene in the networking space to say, this is my strength, this is her strength, and so on. She's mentioned that we've worked together in other projects, and now we're still going to work together even more in other, you know, big projects. You know, the ones that we've worked together already, I could just so excited and say, I think everybody needs to have a strategist that will hold your hands and bring you back to your vision. In as much as my Octopay business, eventually it will have different portfolios, but I cannot launch all of them at the same time, right? I am limiting myself. Hence the business mentor, you know, it will help you to really be narrowing and say, this is a launch stage, this is the flourishing stage, this is that. Just step back and revisit. Am I still okay to do this for this season, you know? Mm. And the strategy will also, business mentor strategy, you know, will also really help you when things fall apart, how to bounce back quickly. I mean, COVID-19 never prepared us that us that are passionate about events, about retreats, we will put our life on hold. If your business strategy was just on retreat, instead of now moving to online retreats, I stayed too long mourning. I've changed everything now, doing group sessions, group mentorship through retreats. Now that I cannot do the retreats, what now? Then you go back to your pity place instead of saying, oh, things are changing and I need to adapt.
Yeah.
If I can't adapt immediately, reach out to my mentor who's got the best interest for me and say, now this is what's happening in our industry, how to then adjust and change and adopt accordingly and bring my network with, you know. So most definitely the strategy is needed in many ways. And remember your strategy also, it is a working document. Make it your best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes with your best friend, you have coffee. Sometimes you go out for the retreat. Sometimes you just give a phone call, you know. So it is a work. At the end of the day, it takes us to the bigger picture.
Wow. Now, let's talk about this one, resilience. You know, I can imagine there's a lot of it needed to embrace every season of entrepreneurship, including the difficult ones. And I think this is just this is one we, you know, like I was saying, when passion strikes, you don't think as far as difficulties. And I think to a certain degree, it's a good thing because you don't need any negative mindset that may derail you off the path. But the truth is those difficult moments are definitely going to hit. What then? How do you remain resilient?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I could, before Octavia, I would love for her to tell her story about how lesson that she learned in what she calls the winter season, which I thought was really good because our lives really is almost compartmentalized into different seasons.
Definitely.
And we got to understand the season that we're in. And so what you're referring to, leaving corporate and coming into entrepreneurship, it's really a spring season away, where you're so full of potential and so full of plans, and you're really just looking forward to make that impact. Everything is, you're just looking at the everything is blooming and you're so excited. But then you go into a season where things start drying up and the reality strikes and you realize that things are not the way I thought it was. And how we prepare for those seasons is really what's going to carry us through. Mm. But most importantly for me is the way I think can take me through a lot of seasons, whether it's dry, whether it rains, whether it is the sun is shining. Where I am mentally is how I prepare for the drier seasons or even the summer seasons. The way that I look at life. And that is not something that comes automatically because, like most of us, we have our own experience. We are conditioned to think in certain ways.
Mm.
And especially if you have been from a corporate space where I said that it's easy to flourish because there is the infrastructure is there and you do get a salary. So it's easy to think that you have a positive mindset. But it's in the seasons where it gets drier, where you realize
that you don't always know how to think what I call the growth mindset, to think of that, to see the positive and to see that there's light at the end of it, and to turn even the challenging seasons, to turn that into a lesson and turn that into an experience of growth for you. And so resilience is something that it's a concept that we're able to stand, whether it is hard, continue to stand. And I love how it comes through in the book of Ephesians, where Apostle Paul writes to us and he says, after having tried everything, continue to stand.
Mm.
And this is what captures resilience for me, is being able to stand, being able to do the self-talk, being able to do the declarations, being able to stand just on faith alone when it is so hard. Like I said, you really had to revisit, relook at my life when winter season strike and saying, okay, the medical aid is not there. The income is not there to cover the medical aid.
Mm.
The luxurious items, the Woolies stuff, I can't always afford this anymore. What do I do?
Mm.
And then you really need something to empower and to encourage you to say, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. If I do, what are my alternatives? What other ways can I approach this life? But and so I don't want to take up the time because I want her to talk about that. But what I would like to say to the prospective entrepreneur, or the one who is already, who's listening to us now and thinking, what do I do? For me, it is knowing that this is temporary. This is not a permanent situation. This is a temporary situation, this winter season that we're going through sometimes.
Yeah.
Spring will come again. It will rain again. We will have the finances or the leverage to buy the handbags and buy the go on holidays again. It will come, for as long as we are willing to do the mundane things during the season.
Mm.
And that takes courage to do the mundane things when nobody's watching. You still continue to do the right things. You still continue to conduct your business in excellence. You're still willing to do that, even though nobody is watching, even though the income is not there or the return on this investment is not coming.
Mm.
Continue to do it, because that's the way that you would break through and get back into that spring season again.
Sure. Man. Octavia.
Sure. That's profound. I always say entrepreneurship will test and shape your character in many ways, you know. And in the entrepreneurship journey, there's a lesson season, learning season, there's a waiting season, and the failing season, the winter season Madeline is talking about. And this is where most of entrepreneurs drop off, during the winter season. You know, when we speak about resilience, I really, my passion is to ensure that your mental health is on another level. And that is the only way for us to be able to stand. I don't know what you stand on. Marlene spoke about standing on the word that God gave her. And that will also inspire her to show up with excellence at all times.
Mm.
And, I mean, especially us as Christians, when we claim to be a Christian, our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of excellence.
Mm.
Our God is, the Bible teaches us that life has seasons, and still in every season we have to show up. I love how she said, I've got a story to tell. That's a story that I love telling, to say, the mental resilience, especially for the winter season.
Mm.
Why is it so important? Because, you know, when you're not okay mentally, you can't even think straight. And as entrepreneurs, now that we're talking about entrepreneurship, business women, as entrepreneurs, I always say, if you choose to be an entrepreneur, find ways to have creative ways of solving problems, because we work with solving problems every single day.
True.
And the example that I use when I say winter season, my winter season, the specific one that I love to talk about, is There was a time I put Octopay Image Consulting on hold, and I joined a company to sell property to be a real estate agent, which at first I had incredible, beautiful listings on my books, right? But most of the listings were in Pretoria East, and I stay in Montana Gardens. Oh. Along the way, my car broke, right? Meaning I am not freely able to drive as I would love to Pretoria East. And we were left with only one car. My husband was using that car. And where I stay, it's a security village, you know, quite a few houses in the area. And literally, I can walk door to door, you know, distributing flyers, you know, make that cold calling listing. And at that time, I became so frustrated. So, God, what is happening now? What have I done? What am I going to do without the car and so on? And the winter season, I was not thinking straight. I sat in my pitchy corner, yet life was life, you know. Mm-hmm. Businesses, other estate agents saw opportunity in my area. And being an estate agent, we can access to see how many properties were sold by when and so on. And during that season, tough love, I think God was just giving me tough love there. During that season, in my security complex, an estate agent sold 7 properties in my area where I could literally a walking distance. But I spent most of the time thinking about I don't have a car. Then I thought just because I don't have a car, there's nothing I can do, you know. And that takes us to the beautiful teachings again, tough love from the Bible, the woman of the oil. Why she was asked, what do you have in your hands? And she had the oil. She was asked, go borrow the containers and look at the story. How much came out of that oil? If she sat and say, I don't have an oil, I have an oil, but I don't have containers, and sit and wait until I have money to buy containers, if that money never comes, but then God says, go knock next door and borrow the containers to put the oils, and look what happened. Incredible miracle happened right there. So for us as entrepreneurship, you know, we, for instance, Marilyn and I, we met at the network event, you know, that so much was so much in alignment out of that. So many things that we are birthing things out of that. If I sit just at my place and think, okay, this is what I have now, nothing else I have, yet there are destiny ordained partners out there that God wants you to take, make that step and just meet them or knock that door. And, I mean, having a corporate experience as well, at some point I forgot about these beautiful skills that I have that I can leverage it and collaborate with others to complement my business and their business, and then we flourish. So for the winter season, make sure that my fellow entrepreneur business women, we don't have a privilege not to nurture our mental health. If we have that house in order, the rest will fall into place because on a daily basis, we have to make decisions. And not that just decisions, but decisions that are in alignment with what God has called us. I don't know what is your word. You know your word. God gave you. And make sure also it's in alignment with your values as well. Because also, let's not talk about winter season only. We get exposed to incredible, beautiful opportunities. But some opportunities will expect you to compromise your values, compromise your challenges, and then you have to step back and say, who am I? What am I called for? Yeah. Is this in alignment with my values or not? And that will also challenge you and remind you that as an entrepreneur, there is a waiting season. So don't rush into quick scheme money making just because it's your waiting season, you think it's the end of the world. No, and there are lessons. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Marilyn, for reminding us that as well. There are lessons in those waiting, failing, and learning seasons.
Sure. Very powerful. Ladies, I'd love for us to go on with this conversation, but I literally lifted my head and I realized we are running out of time. But I think it's very important also for us to follow more of you guys. You know, I always say learning never stops. Any social media pages and your businesses, of course. I think let me start with you, Octavia.
Yes, Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I am Octavia Ephraim and Octopay for the business bank.
Lovely. And to you, my dearest Marilyn.
Thank you very much, Luko. Like I said, my favorite platform is LinkedIn. And so you can find me on LinkedIn as Marilyn Morris. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as Kingdom Women Collective. And that's where you can find me. Otherwise, a WhatsApp on 082-387-9010. Thank you very much, Luko.
Oh, thank you, my ladies, and have a lovely afternoon further.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you.
Where hope and faith thrive. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Pila impilo yakho nathi. Ngena ku radiopulpit.co.za. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.